I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews, if you will. Hebrews chapter 11, one verse as our text verse, and then we'll be going to Genesis chapter 6. But Hebrews chapter 11, you know, I believe religion. He hates it. He wants to destroy families, but yet the Bible is full of it, where whole families got saved, Cornelius and Peter and Cornelius's household. And we don't preach household salvation. Each one of them had to be saved, and they had to believe, but the whole household was saved. Lydia, the woman who offered her house at Philippi, and that was where they were meeting and assembling together. And the Bible says that her family was saved, and they were baptized, and all of these would follow the Lord in believers' baptism. In Acts 16, you have the Philippian jailer who got saved, and he said, "In thy house, all of them got saved." The whole household, everybody, the whole family came to the Lord Jesus Christ, got saved, and followed the Lord in believers' baptism. Now, Hebrews 11, 7 is talking about a man like that who wanted to get his family saved. And I want to preach today on the captain and his kids. Chapter 11, Hebrews, and verse 7. By faith, Noah, he's the captain, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Thank God he did that. Now, all that were Daddy Noah's got in the ark, amen? And I'm glad that they did. I like to tell that story and change the wording of it a little bit to my grandchildren and Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and we have a good time with that, and that's something that I've told all of them all along. But it's a good story because it's a true story of Noah and the ark in getting his whole family in. Go to Genesis chapter 6, if you will, for just a second. Genesis chapter 6, and we'll see this fact that all went into the ark, and the great emphasis on household salvation, how Noah got his family in the ark, and what the ark is a picture of. Now, I believe in a universal flood. I don't believe it was a fable. I don't believe it was fiction. I don't believe it was a little story that has some other meaning with it. Archaeology, anthropologists, those who have studied man, all of those things over the years discover that every civilization has given account of a flood. And it's just part of the record of any civilization that they look at as far as their records. Archaeologists, geologists have found seashells on the top of the Alps. Friend, you can't find seashells on the top of the Alps unless there was a universal deluge. So we believe it, and probably enough about that. But it was a historical happening. As a matter of fact, Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah. Amen. So if he said it, and it was a reality, then that's good enough for me. If Jesus said it, I'll accept it. And I believe Genesis 6 was a factual happening, and it is a beautiful, one of the most beautiful pictures of salvation. And I'm going to try in the next 16 minutes to get that picture in the message. But you bear with me and we'll go fast. You listen fast and I'll talk as fast as I can. But this was a factual happening, and it was an illustration of salvation and how we as dads today can get our children safe in the ark of salvation. What were the days of Noah like? Well, let's look at verses 1 through 3 very quickly. These were days that were very difficult, similar in many ways to today in our country. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God, that is the holy line, saw the daughters of men, that is the unholy line, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. God simply said, they have gone apostate. There is apostasy. And I'm tired of it, and I'm going to judge them because of their apostasy. Another thing we see is anarchy in verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. He's talking about the fact that they went contrary to the will of God. And out of that came mighty men. Now, these were not mighty men as we would think of them, but they were mighty men in their wickedness, mighty men in their sinfulness. And then the heart of God is broken. There was anarchy. And then look at verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination, we'll get back to that word in a minute, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's what God saw. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And watch it. It grieved him at his heart. Broke God's heart. You see, we can understand that. We have broken hearts. God's heart was broken because of what man was doing. And God's heart was tender. And yet he could not put up with that. And he wasn't going to. Go back to verse 5. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. The wickedness of man. And how bad was it? Every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was bad. That's how bad things had gotten during that time. Now, the Hebrew word for imagination is not the word that means they were dreaming about things. It is a stronger word, and it's a word that was used of a potter fashioning things. Their desire was to change everything. Their desire was to fashion everything according to their thinking, according to their philosophy, according to their scheming and their wickedness. They wanted to reshape the society of their day. God knows we're seeing the same kind of thing today, aren't we? In our very society, just like today, they were set against God. You know, society wants to pour us into their mold. And God said, don't you let them do it. Don't let society pour you into their mold. And here the same sins that were reaching heaven in that day and did are reaching heaven today. God has not changed one bit, not one whit. He also sees not only those things, but apathy. The Bible says that in those days they were marrying and given in marriage. They were buying and they were selling, and they were just living their lives as if nothing was going to happen. And then all of a sudden, the flood, the rain started, and the floods came as a result of that. They wanted to roll over and ignore God. And they had their pleasure palaces, just like we have our pleasure palaces in our society today. And they were living on the threshold of God's judgment. And I say today that we're in about the same place, living on the threshold of the worst judgment this world has ever known. In spite of that, in spite of the times, in spite of the negative, Noah got his family in the ark of salvation. In spite of the times, so we have no excuse for it. I want to show you very quickly three things that we need to see in this. And Peter talked about the ark being a type of Christ. We'll give you these as quickly as we can, but as we look at it, we see the substance of the ark. The substance of the ark. Look at verses 13 and 14 of Genesis chapter 6. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Now these were God's instructions, and he did not give him those instructions by accident. Gopher wood is cypress wood. We would call it cypress wood. It is the most incorruptible of all of the woods of that particular day especially. It is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is presented in the Bible as a tree. The scripture said, as one growing up out of dry ground. Friend, the ark speaks of the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So get the pictures. The ark, the picture, the ark is a type of Christ. So look at the substance of it, that kind of wood, speaking of Christ. And then the safety of the ark. Thank God for the safety of the ark, because he said they were to put pitch in that ark. Pitch it within and without with pitch. Now, pitch was a gooey tar substance. And what it did was keep water out of the ark. And water is a type of the judgment of God. The judgment of God is there, and the judgment of God could come against us. But the water pictures that judgment. The word kephar is the same word that is used for pitch, and it is the idea of atonement. And what is the pitch that is going to save us and keep the judgment of God off of my life and your life for all of eternity? It's going to be the same word that is used for pitch is the word that talks about atonement, and it is the atoning blood and only the atoning blood of Jesus Christ that's going to keep the wrath and judgment of God off of my life. You see, when the pitch is there, the atonement is there, the blood is there, no judgment can come through. It's just not going to happen. God's not going to let it happen. I think we also see the sufficiency of the ark. Again, in verse 15, he gives us a little more about the dimensions of it. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. Now, we don't measure a lot of things in cubits, and we're not maybe so used to that language today. But I'm telling you, it was an incredible size. People say, well, they couldn't have gotten all those animals. Oh, sure they could. And God could put them to sleep, and they didn't have any problem during that whole time. Who knows? But if I was on the ark, I'd want to be sure that he put the skunk asleep. Amen? But at any rate, that was 3 million cubic feet of space. That's a lot of cubic feet of space. Cubic feet. And so in the ark, what it's telling us and what it's typifying for us is this, and I'm glad to report that this to you today. There's room in the ark for you. Amen? Amen. Though millions have come, thank God there's still room for one. There's room in Christ. There's room in the ark for you if you'll just come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's room at the cross for anybody who'll come. I'm glad God said, whosoever will. And that's in any age today. If you'll come to Jesus Christ, my dear friend, he'll save your soul. And I'm glad that he'll do it. The shape of the ark, we can't really get it out of the scriptures, but it was a different shape. It had no prow. It had no pointed front on it. And it had no helm on that ship. You know why it didn't have a helm? And no prow, because it wasn't going in any particular direction. Noah didn't know where he was going to wind up, did he? He didn't know what place he was going to wind up. And it didn't have any particular destination. You know why? Because God was in charge of that ark. God knew where he was going to have the ark land. He knew it the whole time. That ark was blunt, really, on both ends of the ark. And if you'll study the dimensions of the ark, Bible scholars who have studied it and shared it with others have defined it as being in the shape of a coffin. The ark is in shape of a coffin. And ancient people made coffins out of cypress wood, which is a very great picture to us, I think, of Christ. You know why? Because when we're in Christ, we die with Christ. We died when he died on the cross. We died in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Judgment is sealed out, and Noah, thank God, is sealed in. And we die with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful picture of Christ. Verse 16 lets us know that it had three floors. And this speaks of the triunity of God. Three floors. In a window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, a door in the side. With lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. Well, that's not an accident that God designed it that way. Man is trichotomatic. We have a body, we have a soul, we have spirit. That's why we need to get saved. We're not an animal, a high animal. We're body, soul, and spirit, created in the image of Almighty God, and we're going to spend either eternity in heaven or hell, one of the two, because we're an eternal being that God has made us. And thank God He's made us that way. The triunity of God, it speaks of. And then on the side was a door. On the side was a door. And that is a picture of the way to get in. But also, at the top was a window. He points that out. You see, God controlled the door, didn't He? God put the door in there and sealed it and said, I'm in control of that. But God said, no, I'm going to let you be in control of something, and that's the window above. And God put him in the ark, and He only gave him one way to look. What way was that? Wasn't out, wasn't down, it was always up. Always up. You see, once you get saved and you're inside the Lord Jesus Christ, thank God you ought to have an upward look. No matter what's coming your way, it ought to be an upward look. The only way that He could look was up. And that's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. What was His view? Heaven. What should be my view and your view? What should we be focusing on and concentrating on? Not this old wicked world down here is going to be burned up with a fervent heat one day, according to 1 Peter. It's all going to melt, amen? Your fancy boat and house and everything else you've got is going to melt one of these days. Nothing wrong with having some of those things if you don't put God second and you put those things where they belong. But all of it's going to be destroyed. We need a heavenward look. And that's the only way He could look was up. And the ark, again, is a picture of Christ. Now, if you come into the ark, your view is going to be heavenward. You know Christ, how? Through Almighty God and His grace. And the only way we can look is up. No longer, listen to this, because some Christians need it. No longer are we worldly minded if we're really saved. We're heavenly minded. If you're really in the ark, you're not going to be worldly minded. You see, you may have just gone forward. You may have just prayed a little prayer. You may not have really gotten saved. If your look is not an upward look, and you're looking at this world and all of that, and that's where your effort and your time and your talent and all of that goes, friend, you may have missed the whole thing. Because when you get in the ark, you're going to be looking toward heaven. Look at the sustenance of the ark. Verse 21. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten. Now we know Noah was a Baptist. Amen. And take thou unto thee all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Isn't it great the Lord saves us, and then He invites us to His table. Amen. And He says, come and dine. Everything's ready. Come and dine. And I'm telling you, there's some good stuff on the ark. There's some good stuff with the Lord Jesus Christ. And He gathered it and put it in. The captain set a good table for them. They had plenty of food. They had all they needed. And God gives us, when we get saved, shelter and sustenance. I heard a song yesterday that I had not heard before, and I want Madeline to find it for me. She can. And the song was just something like this. It was a man singing, I'm blessed. And he said, I have a wife, a good Christian wife, and then he closes and goes into the little chorus, I'm blessed. And then he says, I have children that God has given me, I'm blessed. And then he really gets spiritual and he says, I have grandchildren that God has given me, and I am blessed. And then he says, I have Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I'm blessed. And he goes on, and I about shouted in my car, I thought, man, that's great. All of my troubles just went right out the window. And I said, oh God, I too am blessed. Because when you get saved, God gives us sustenance and shelter. Jesus not only saves, friend, I promise you, He satisfies. I hadn't found a real Christian yet, a real Christian, that says Jesus doesn't satisfy me. He saves and He satisfies. Now, look at the schedule of the ark. Chapter 8 and verse 4, very quickly. Chapter 8 in verse 4. And the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. The seventh month on the 17th day of the month. That may not mean a lot to you until you dig into it a little bit, but according to the Jewish calendar, the first month was the month October. And also according to the Jewish calendar, the seventh month would be the month April. It's very significant that that ark landed there on Ararat exactly when it landed there. When did the ark come to rest? It came to rest on April the 17th. Now, we go to the New Testament, and we find out that 3 days before April the 17th, which was the time of Christ coming out of the grave, was Passover. That was April the 14th. And the Lord Jesus Christ came out of that grave. Thank God he arose, and we are glad that he did. When did Jesus come out of the grave? The very same day. What a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. The same day the ark landed on Ararat, it was the very same day that Christ came and stood on the earth as a victorious person who had come through all of the storms of death, hell, and the grave. And he stood there as the one who was victorious. Thank God. The ark rested there. Jesus stood in resurrection on the earth. Very quickly, we need to look, secondly, at salvation. The salvation of this ship. How did they get on board? How did they get on this big boat? And there's a lesson to every dad here. The plainest way is found in Ephesians 2:89. That's how you get on the boat. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. And he says we are created as workmen unto him, as workmen. And there are some things that we see as we include verse 10 in that. How do you apply this to Noah's Ark? Now, you probably remember a little bit about high school English. I remember very little about it, but at least we have here three prepositions. And we look at the words by, which is important, and through, which is important, and to, unto, which is greatly important. So in Noah's Ark, salvation is how? It is by what? Grace. Only by grace. In Genesis 6:8, he points it out very clearly when he says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Thank God for grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That means it wasn't deserved. Amen? He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And this is the first mention of grace in the Bible. What a wonderful place to put it. The mention of grace. Now, it's implied, but I'm talking about the mention of it. How did they get saved? They got saved by grace. They didn't deserve it. They didn't deserve the ark. Genesis 6:18, he talks about a covenant that God made. In verse 18, "But with thee will I establish my covenant." What kind of covenant was it? It was a covenant of grace to Noah. Simple grace. Listen to me. It is not going to church that saves you. It is not giving your money that saves you. It is not your good works that save you. It is not your baptism that saves you. It is not trying to obey the Ten Commandments that saves you. That is not what saves you. It is not reward for righteousness. It is a gift for the guilty. It is grace, and only grace. It's not because he was a good old boy that he got in that ark, friend. It was because of the grace of God. And it'll be because he has prepared a way for you by grace that you get in. And then it was by faith. He tells us again it was by faith. In chapter 7 in verse 1. "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house." Now watch the language. "Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." Come into the ark. And that was done by faith. You see, the ark was completed now at this point as he's talking about it. When he says to come in. And he says, "Noah, come." That's always been God's invitation. Come. And he walked up the gangplank and somehow walked right on into that ark. How did he do it? By faith. He believed what God said. God said, the ark's ready. Get in. I can tell you today that salvation is ready. Get in. You get in by faith. That's how you get in. Thank God he did it by faith. I like that old song, just as I am without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me. That's how you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you understand that you can't earn it. It's all by grace. Now another preposition was unto. And that's the third thing that he mentions in verse 10 of Ephesians 2, where he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. We're created unto good works. Genesis 9:1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, sit down and do nothing. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. You see, it is not our works that gets us there, but once we are saved, we ought to work. We are to serve the Lord. We're not saved by being fruitful. He was fruitful because he was saved. I mean, if he hadn't been saved, he couldn't have been fruitful, right? He'd have drowned with the rest of them. So he was fruitful because he was saved, and it was under good works. Fruit is not the cause of salvation, but it is, listen to me, a sign of salvation. Fruit is a sign that you have really been saved. The poem says, I cannot work my soul to save. That work my Lord has done. But I will work like any slave for the love of God's dear Son. When we get saved, we ought to be out and out for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not saved by faith in works, but we're saved by faith that works. And when we're really saved, we're going to work for the Lord. So how did he get on board? He got on board by grace. He got on board by faith. He got on board in order to do something for the glory of God. And now the security of the ship. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1 again. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. Come into the ark, the security of it. Thank God for that secure place in the ark. And verse 16 says, they went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded them. And the Lord did what? Shut him in. The Lord shut him in, the security of the ark. Who shut him in? God did. Who sealed him? God did. And we are sealed when we get saved. If we really get saved, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Friend, you can't lose your salvation after you're saved. Thank God for the doctrine of eternal security. God said, come into the ark. He didn't say, go into the ark. There's a difference. He didn't say, go into the ark. He said, come into the ark. Now, if I tell you to go outside, I'm in here, you go outside, I'm not out there with you. But if I say, come in here, and you're standing by and say, come in here, I'm already in here, and you come in here. Isn't that a beautiful picture of God? And if I say, come into the room, I'm already here with you in the ark. Listen, here's what I'm saying. If the ark had gone down, God would have had to go down. Because he was in the ark. He was the ark. He was in the ark. And this is a type of God and the type of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you when I'll lose my salvation. I'll tell you when I'm going to lose my salvation. When Christ loses his relationship with the Father, then I'm going to lose my salvation. But he'll never lose his relationship with the Father. It will never happen. I am in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Somebody says, what if you slip and fall? What if you slip and fall? What do you mean, what if you slip and fall? I do slip and fall. How about you? We're all going to slip and fall. If somebody sitting by you tells you they don't slip and fall, grab your wife and your billfold. Amen? Because you can't trust them. Let me tell you something. I have an idea. Noah fell down in the ark, but he never fell out of the ark. He couldn't fall out of it. Why? God sealed him in. He was sealed in. He could not fall out of the ark. You hear at testimony meetings, You pray for me that I'll hold out faithful to the end. Pray for me that I'll hold out faithful. That's like God saying, now here, Noah, let me tell you what I'm going to do. On the outside of the ark, I'm going to put 8 pegs, pretty nice sized pegs. And I'm going to give you a step ladder. And when it starts raining, I'm going to seal the ark up. But now you're going to be on the outside. And I want you to hang on, all of you. Just hang on. And the waters come up. You just keep hanging on. It's going to get a little slimy after all that time. Just keep hanging on to one of those pegs and hope that you don't slip off. Brother, I've got something better than that. I don't know about you. I'm not on the outside hanging on. Thank God I'm on the inside, sealed by the grace of Almighty God. Salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't hold on to Him. He holds on to us. There are a lot of people who believe in eternal security. I'm hurting as much as I can, folks, that believe in eternal security. You know what they mean by that? When I get to heaven, I'm going to be eternally secure. They say you can't know it till you get on the inside. Did you know just being in heaven doesn't guarantee you you're going to be eternally secure? You say, well, now, wait a minute, preacher. Wait a minute. Where was Lucifer and where were the angels? Where were they when they got kicked out of heaven? They were in heaven. And they got kicked out of heaven. That's not salvation. Listen to me. The angels fell from heaven. Salvation is not in a place. Salvation is in a person. You better get that right or you'll never get there. Salvation is in a person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not in Christ, you're not secure, even if you're in heaven. Thank God for the security of the ship. And then we go back to look at Noah. Thank God that that is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see what he said back in Hebrews 11:6. But without verse 7, rather, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, those on the outside, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He prepared an ark to the saving of his family. Dads, have you led your children to Christ? Have you led your grandchildren, your sons, and your daughters to the Lord Jesus Christ? Not just leading them to become a church member or on a church roll somewhere or on the Sunday school roll. Have you led them into the ark? Have you done like Noah and led them to Jesus Christ? You know, I pray both of my, we have 2 children, they're both saved, and I thank God for that. But we have some grandchildren, and I pray and pray for them every day. And some of them are saved, and some of them are young, and they're under that period of grace, and they're going to grow up. But I'm praying and praying and praying to God that every last one of them will be saved. I'm praying they'll be saved. I would be so despondent in my soul if I thought my children and grandchildren were not going to heaven. What a sad thing that would be, and I'm sure you feel the very same way. Captain, let me just ask you today, are you on board? Are your children on board, but are you on board? There's some dads here that missed it. You thought you got it, you missed it. You're not on board. You need to get on board today. You need to be saved today. Are you on board? Thank God Noah got on board. A picture of Christ, salvation by grace. Let's stand, please. Every head is bowed for just a moment as we prepare for our invitation. And I'm asking again, Dad or Mother, anybody here, any boy, little boy, girl, Mama, Dad, teenager, are you on board? Have you got on the good ship of Zion? Do you know Jesus Christ? You get on by faith, not by your works. You trust Him. You get in the ark. You get in Christ by faith. Would you do it today? If you haven't, make sure today. Don't let the fact that it's Father's Day and all of that be a problem. Just do what's right. Dad, some of you need to make some things right. Some of you need to make some things right in your life today with God. Would you do it? Some others do also. Father, bless in the invitation. It is yours, and we ask for your will to be done. I pray that if there's someone here who's not in the ark of safety, some father or anyone, that they'd be saved today. And I pray that dads here would lead their children to Christ by their lifestyle, by their example, and their personal vocal witnessing and confronting them with the gospel. I pray that you'd help them to have enough wisdom to lead their family into the ark of safety, Jesus. Speak to our hearts. Help us to remember that we cannot lose our salvation, and that we were saved not only to stay in the ark, but unto good works, to replenish the earth, to serve you with all of our hearts. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen.